Thank you, Jesus. Sunday morning. This is October the 18th, 2020. And I'm going to talk on a subject this morning that we all need to hear. Even me. It's time to cut off the head of the giant. This is a prophet's corner uncut. Time to cut off the head of the giant. The Lord was giving me a scenario this morning about if the army or the armed forces of our nation did warfare like the church, we'd be whipped every time. What do? Come hell or high water, no matter what, if they don't feel good, if they're hungry, if they're sleep deprived, what do? They just keep on using those weapons. They just keep on standing. They just keep opposing. You know what resisting the devil means? Resist. You know what one of the words means? Oppose. It's not passive in any way. Not passive. Resisting the devil is not passive. Well, I'm just going to have a day. I'm just going to let him just beat me up all day. I'm just going to lay around in my pity party. Well, if we'd spend a few days opposing, do you think maybe we might see some results? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today. You're wanting the reward of the warrior, but the Lord says to you this day, I cannot reward you the victory of the giant's head unless you come out of the foxhole. And you know, it's a strange thing that people understand that as far as the military goes, but when it comes to things of the spirit, they're just the opposite. They want everything prayed off of them. They want God to give them an answer and God to do this and God to do that. When in essence, if you listen to my broadcast this morning, it confirmed everything I'm going to speak to you here this morning. He's given us control. Now, somebody buys you a nice house, a new car, and says you're in control of it. What are you going to do? You're going to run with it and enjoy it. That's what you're going to do. So God has said, okay, I've given the earth to man. I've given you authority, so you have the ability, what Jesus said, to speak to your mountains. The mountains that stand in your way, be removed. But it also says, doesn't say if you believe God's word, it says if you believe your words. There's the key. Do you believe your words? When you speak to the devil, do you believe? As the Lord was saying this to me, I remember something that Brother Hagin used to say. You're waiting for it to fall on you like ripe cherries from a tree. I can imagine during back in those days, because we kind of came into the ending years of that, especially the Pentecostals. You know, I will say this about them, they knew how to wait on the Lord and pray till the power come down, but they didn't have any power to walk out their normal lives. Well, I don't know about you. Anyway, everybody likes the power to show up, but I want to be able to walk out my normal life in victory. Aren't you tired of being pummeled by the giant? Aren't you tired of putting up with his stuff? How long? How long? How long more are we willing to put up with it? No, says the Lord, it will not fall on you. You must fight for it. It is called the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, we are to fight the good fight of faith. Yesterday, the Lord said something interesting to me. He said, nobody can get sick without getting sick by faith. And I kind of stopped me a little bit. I said, I had to think about that. Because he said, the devil doesn't have anything. Jesus took all of it on his back. All he has are what? Lies. And if he can get the person to believe the lie, out of the bunch of the heart, the mouth speaks. Actually, nobody can give them a disease. Not even if it's a vaccine. I don't care. There's a reason why he said you'd pick up serpents and they wouldn't hurt you. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. It's not what goes in into the man that defiles him, but what comes out of him, his thinking processes. The days of Noah, every thought of man was evil continually. So you see here how Satan operates, because the parable of the sower says he comes to steal the word. What word is that? Your promise you're standing on. Get you to say something out of step with your agreement. Yeah. He never created anything but a mess. He just comes in behind what God has done and starts messing things up, and he's used to getting by with it because most of the church never does anything to oppose him. They don't resist him like James tells us to. When you stand with the full armor of God, it says when you've done all you can to do to stand firmly in your place. That looks doesn't look passive to me. That means being alert. That means not letting him get by with anything. Well, I let him get by with everything yesterday. I just didn't feel like doing it yesterday, so I just laid down. But I'm ready to fight today. Well, I think it's like with anything. If we will be persistent, not give him an inch, he won't take a mile. I don't care if you got to say it 50 times a day. No, you don't. No. 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 All right, 1 Samuel 17. Yeah, it was amazing. I turned on the broadcast and the things the Lord had been speaking to me while I was praying before the broadcast and all this week was the exact thing I was bringing on television. So, well, that's a confirmation to me. Okay, 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socho, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Socho and Azekah in Ephes, Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye service to Saul? Choose your man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Aren't you tired of the devil being the smart aleck? Parading in front of you and terrorizing you and taunting at you day after day after day, sometimes minute by minute by minute. The Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now listen to this. Here's most. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was a son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had eight sons. And the man went among men from an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul in the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next was Abinadab, and the third was Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. I mean, night and day, night and day, night and day. They had to hear this giant boast of how many ways to Sunday he was going to hurt them. Just terrorized them. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Ran from him. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou those few sheep in the wilderness? Sounds familiar. I know thy pride and the haughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Now you know why he wasn't chosen. But think about it. You're from that bunch over that old house church over there. You got two or three. You ain't got nothing going on there. Oh, really? We kick your butt over here. Devil, we kick your butt over here. Yeah, the church to me is the older brother. I heard something that distressed me this week. I looked up the scripture. Jackie and I were discussing it. It was one of the programmers that was taken off of YouTube, and she's not even from here. She's from Canada, but she's a Christian. And she was reading something by Derek Prince, and he had made a statement of the scripture that talks about there'll come a time where people will not listen to the truth or hear sound truth. So God will send them a strong delusion so that they will believe a lie. We're seeing it. So that tells me God will deal with men to a certain point, but there'll come a day he will not deal with them anymore. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. When I first started out in ministry, I had a dream. And in the dream, it was a big banquet table, and it was filled with ministers. And at the head of the table was this Pentecostal guy with his wife, and she had that old bun crap going on. And the only other one I remember at the table was Mary. She's sitting beside me. And the guy with the bun wife, he he looked at me and said, "We don't want you here. We don't want you here. Because her women are." And Mary said, "Are you going to put up with that?" And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "You sit at the table. You have a place at my table. Whether you're accepted with Big Brother religion, Big Brother, traditionally taught, cemetery taught, do it the way everybody does it, or you don't get to do nothing taught bunch. You sit at my table." See, God accepted David, the run of the litter, the little one, the little guy, because he saw his heart. He had a heart after God. He wanted to fulfill everything that God had for him to fulfill. "And when the words were heard, which David said, they rehearsed them before Saul. He sent for him, and David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth.'" You don't have the skills. You don't have the training that we as warriors, you mean you scaredy cats are over there in the foxhole? You mean that much? You're just taking little old David here. He's just been out there at those stinky old sheep, playing his little old instrument, singing to the Lord. He's a man of war from his youth. "And David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And he arose against me. I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God.' David said, 'Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said unto David, 'Go, and the Lord be with thee.'" And Saul armed David with his armor. Well, you need to do it the way we've done it. You see, you've got to follow tradition now. You need to do it the way we do it. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these. I'm Holy Ghost taught. For I have not proved them." And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Do you remember when Kim Clement in the prophecy, he said, and he took a simple stone. He said, remember that word. He took a simple stone. Our president has taken a simple stone and he has slain the giant with it. And he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field." See here, we got the deep state running here. We got the Nephilim speaking the lies of the devil, of his father the devil, to make him afraid, the intimidation. And then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." He's just waiting for you to speak it. The battle does belong to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted. And he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. You mean he didn't run to the foxhole? He ran toward probably the scariest thing he'd ever faced in his life. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The devil fled. See, that's what God wants from us. Stop being intimidated by Goliath, the Goliath in your life. The armies of the Israelites ran from the giant and jumped in the foxholes, cringing in fear. Fear ruled. David talked his faith and walked his faith. This is a good fight of faith. He was ruled by faith. Are you well today? Are you acting like you are well today? What would you be doing if you were well today? Yesterday the Holy Spirit said to me, I determined I'm going to clean these nasty doors out here. So I did. The Lord said, you need to act like the way you want to feel. Not, I do based on how I feel. Well, I don't get out of the house, I just don't feel like it. I feel. And let that sink in. How do you want to feel? I want to feel great, Lord. Then start acting like someone that feels great would act. They get out and they accomplish things. They don't let things get dirty and amuck and out of order because they don't feel like messing with it. Are you doing that? What camp are you hanging out with? Camp Fear or Camp David? Could say Camp Faith. They don't call it Camp David for nothing, huh? Jesus said to this to the lame man. Okay, I've got two scriptures here. Matthew 9. To act like you want to feel is really face corresponding action. People of faith don't have organ recitals. Matthew 9:5. Now he was confronted by the Philistine or the Pharisees, same thing. For whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. What made the man well? Oh, Jesus, he was the Son of God. He could do anything. He did a miracle. That's how most people believe. It's a sovereign act of God. The man acted on his faith. He said, be well. And the guy rose up. Bless God, I will. Okay, let's look to John 5. We see another instance. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. See, they're waiting for a miracle. They're waiting for a sovereign act of God to get their answer. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the waters trouble to put me into the pool, but when I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. That old pity, self-pity. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. The man obeyed the words of Jesus. Faith. 38 years waiting for a miracle. Got nothing. That's not the way people of faith receive. Yeah, it's good when miracles happen. Don't get me wrong. But we are to the ones that walk the walk of faith, the good fight of faith. This is what pleases God. Doing a miracle for somebody, he'll do it on occasions, but that's not his best. His best is us to believe him and walk by faith. That's what pleases him, it says. It says without faith, it's impossible to please him. Based on their fear or faith, they received that day, their actions, how they responded. You're looking for a physical change, but what God is looking for is a mental change. Your problem is not the physical thing, it's the mental thing. John said, the kingdom of God has come nigh you. Change your minds for the better. It's what sin, repentance means, to change your mindset about things. Jesus was proclaiming the kingdom, and he wanted the people to get a hold of the kingdom and its benefits, but they couldn't because of their mindsets. This man had a self-pity. Nobody knows me, nobody cares, nobody loves me, nobody would do anything for me, this welfare attitude. Until Jesus came, I will get up. You will. If Jesus physically walked up to you today, he would still expect you to act on your faith. Well, if Jesus was here, and I'll tell this story, another Brother Hagin story. When he had a visitation from the Lord, and there was an angel present, and this little demon kept coming in between him and the Lord and going yakety-yak, yakety-yak. I think smoke was going everywhere. And he's thinking, why don't the Lord do something about this? Why don't he do something about this? Because the angel wanted to speak to him, but this yakety-yakking and all that was preventing him from hearing. Finally, he got fed up with it and told the thing to leave, and it did. And the Lord said to him, if you hadn't have done that, I couldn't have done anything. He said, Lord, I know I misunderstood you. He said, no. I've given you authority to take care of these situations. He said, I know you meant, you know, something else. That couldn't be what you meant. And the Lord said, that's exactly what I meant. If you hadn't have taken care of it, I could not have done anything about it. Now, he had a sister that had cancer at 50, and the Lord allowed him to use his faith to get her through. But then 5 years later, she comes up with another form of cancer, and he couldn't do anything. He said, she has not turned on one of your broadcasts. She's never darkened the door of your church. She has never, on her own, sought me, asked me anything. So he had, you know, his hands were tied. All right. Faith takes us out of the delusion into faith. We're talking about strong delusion. What does faith do? It clears it up. The delusion is gone. We see clearly. We see clearly the authority that we've been given. It all has to do with the mental. What you think about it. Okay. Unfortunately, many will never come out of the foxhole. It's sad. There just seems to be just a handful that rise to the occasion and use their faith. Read throughout the Bible, the whole nation of Israel. If there was 1 million people coming out of there, add the wives and add the children, you probably had 3 million people come out of Egypt. I don't know how many, but I know there was a bunch of people. But when it came to go into the promised land, how many actually went in? The children. But it was Joshua and Caleb. All right. John 20. This is just starting with verse 1. The first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they both ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then he went in also, that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Well, he told them before he left. Then the disciples went away again into their own house. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. When he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I think there's another account of this where they didn't believe the women. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. There's the people that walk by faith. We don't have to see to believe. All right, one more passage of Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 37. Start with verse 1 here. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and sent me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Well, why didn't the Lord do it? He's given this authority to us. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. When you're speaking to a situation, don't give up, like I said. I think you'd be better off every infraction, you deal with it with the words of your authority. Until that thing's gone. Till that squatter's off of your property. If you had somebody out there on your property stealing something or camped out in your backyard, you woke up and you had some skanks out there camping on your property like a Chaz zone. They set up a Chaz zone in your backyard. What would you do about it? Well, y'all better go. That's like most people say, well, y'all better leave. No, you'd get out there and you'd probably have your gun loaded and you'd have those right pointed right at their head and say, you get your you-know-what off of my property. And you'd do it and you'd call the cops and you'd do everything you know to do. You'd oppose. Resist the devil. Suppose you'd resist and resist and resist till they were off your property, wouldn't you? In the natural, we understand that. Why do we think it should be any difference in the faith realm? Okay. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So he told him to speak to the bones. Now he says, now speak breath into them. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet in an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, saith the Lord. We have that ability to speak to the dry bone situations, I'll tell you what, and say, I have had enough of this. And I'm going to resist you, and I'm going to impose you until you get tired of hearing my voice. And you get the heck out of here. No more can we be passive. Not in this day and hour. The stakes are too high. That's why we have to keep speaking to our nation and speaking to problems we've seen change. Try to make it a point every time we have something that has manifested that we've been speaking. Well, it's no different with your body than it is with the nation. It's a lot more personal. But we have to resist the devil. We have to run the squatter off because he's been there a long time. Time to cut off that giant's head.